Welcome to ACMN Conversations, a podcast about marketing, media and entertainment matters in Australia. There are some incredible people in our industry and beyond, and there's amazing things happening both on and off the stage. I'm ACMN's Managing Director, Lyndall Pond, and today we are speaking with the delightful David Mann. David has a 4+ decade career in media and radio. David also has a stellar CV of roles associated with many community and not-for-profit organisations, including the Victoria Police Blue Ribbon Day Community Council and Entertainment Assist. In 2018, in the Queen's Birthday Honours List, David was made a member of the Order of Australia, AM, for, and I'll just read this verbatim, significant service to the community of Victoria, particularly through emergency services, entertainment, education, heritage and charitable organisation. With so many interests, passions and roles, David really is the man about town. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lyndall. It's a pleasure and, well, an honour too to be one of the podcast people to be interviewed, and looking forward to having a chat to you.
Terrific. Thank you so much. We want to dive into Entertainment Assist today. So you're currently the chairman of this not-for-profit organisation. The organisation's mission is research, awareness and education for mental health and well-being in the Australian entertainment industry. So we need that more than ever at the moment. It's terrific to have you here today and learn more about this. So let's get started on that. It's such an important and impactful organisation for the arts and the work they do around this research, awareness, education. Tell us more, just so that the layman can really understand, what does Entertainment Assist do?
Well, what it is, it supports the mental health and well-being of the Australian entertainment industry, so it's national, and we do this by directing most of our efforts towards the research, the awareness and the education. And we've got a great board who have got fabulous skill sets, but we realise entertainment is more than what the public often see, the singer, the dancer, the actor, but the entertainment industry goes to the roadies, the AV, the radio personalities, the television personalities, everybody involved with it, theatre managers, and Lyndall, you said it, 2020 has been the most difficult time that I've ever known. I've been in the business for 48 years now, and the COVID started off as a medical emergency, and then it changed into a financial emergency. And now, where Entertainment Assist is under so much pressure, it's a mental health and wellbeing emergency. So we're there to lead the employers, the employees, the people in the industry to the right resources that will help them, but also to deal in fact rather than opinion. There's so much happening at the moment. Get back to facts.
Now, that's so true. And I think the breadth of those job roles that you just pointed out, that really explains the breadth of the challenges that the entertainment industry has been faced with. There's just so many people that have been affected by what we've been through. So my next question was, why is there a need to have an organisation championing mental health in entertainment? It sort of goes without saying, doesn't it?
It does, but I don't want to be an alarmist, but I use the word fact all the time as an FACT, with facts that in the entertainment industry, suicide is double that of the general population. I find it hard to say these things, but I talk to a lot of people one-on-one, a lot of groups, a lot of service clubs, and you say that and I go, well, guess what? Anxiety is 10 times higher. I don't know anybody who doesn't suffer from anxiety in some way. And then the word depression, which is very much a part of our vocabulary these days, is 5 times higher. And it's just been difficult times that, unless you're in that entertainment industry, people can't appreciate what's happening. And I won't hide by saying that there's also the factors of obesity, alcohol, drugs, insecurity, pressure, you know, in the industry from people. So the industry's not perfect like anything in the world today, but those three things, the anxiety, the depression, and the suicide rates are, they're not acceptable, so we have to do something about it.
And they are significantly higher in the entertainment industry. So having a dedicated organisation that works in that space specifically, we're going to get more out of the research, and hopefully we're going to attract more interest in it if we're really hone in on this particular industry that needs this support. ACMN have been involved in supporting the awareness piece, which we're really proud of, and I understand it has been having a direct impact on donations, which is terrific. How can others support this work so the arts industry really know that you're there for them?
Well, I know you're not here to chest beat, but I'm going to do it for you because not only have you been helping with amazing media placement and a lot of pro bono from the media, and thank you to our media outlets, but Karen Kavanagh, your managing partner, is on the board of Entertainment Assist, and we are so lucky to have somebody that lives in the business, has been in it for a long time, is an absolute achiever. And congratulations to you, Lyndall, too, being appointed Managing Director on behalf of the entertainment industry. That's great. But ACMN understands the product. What you don't understand, you go and ask about, and then you do the research and you help us. So you've helped us get the message out, because it's not only just there's this thing called Entertainment Assist, it's awareness for people to know it. It's awareness to know how to go to the website. It's awareness that the donations, we are a DGR status, so tax deductible. And what we do with the money is really important. And we've gone a little bit left field, if you like, because people say, oh, it'll be the theatre owners and it'll be the government, state, federal, territories. No, most of our support has come from the areas of philanthropy. Initially, it was the Pratt Foundation over a decade, and thank you to them. Now we've got people like the Freemasons Foundation, Caravan Industry Victoria, Gandel Philanthropy, Wheelton Philanthropy, names that are not probably directly associated with the entertainment industry, but when you say the mental health and well-being of entertainers, they go, pop their hand up. Connected Communities Melbourne, there are lots of people who have supported us, and it's a lean and mean organisation. I shouldn't probably say the word mean, but sometimes, you know, we've got 2.5 people in the office and a board who just give. So ACM have been the glue that has helped us with that word awareness.
Yeah, that's terrific. Thank you for those kind words as well. It's the education is such an important part of what mental health and wellbeing needs. And I understand you've got a project called Intermission. That's your education program. Tell us a little bit more about that and how people can tap into it.
So proud of it. Before COVID, it was up and about and happening all the time, and it was face-to-face. But with COVID, it obviously went online. But Intermission is a mental health training program designed specifically and understands the nuances of working in the industry. And the program was designed as a direct response from the important research we did back in 2016. Now, you can have a look at it on the website, entertainmentassist.org.au. But Intermission is where you would say we've got the theatre operators of Sydney, and they're bringing 5 or 10 of their key staff, and we would speak to them about mental health and well-being in the theatre industry. So it goes from the employers to the employees to the owners to the producers, directors. And then we will change. We'll go and do one for perhaps audiovisual people, or we've actually done some intermission for other groups that are nothing to do with the entertainment industry. And they appreciated it, Lyndall, because we were talking about their space and we did a lot of research. So it's a program that we go out, we prefer it face-to-face, but lately it's been online. And it's talking about what they're going through. The best thing is people open up, because everybody's a little bit afraid. Like, you know, in the old days it was, oh, just harden up, you know, suck it up, you know, get a life. Well, now it's a responsibility. And now when you know the people who are suffering, and I don't mind admitting I've been in tears plenty of times where I've spoken to people who perhaps their next step was to take their life. Their next step was, we've got no future. Their next step was to split up in a relationship. Their next step was to not have the money to pay for the kids to go to school. So Intermission is where people can be honest and open, with qualified people presenting the intermission. And it's Australia-wide too. A lot of people think we're just Victoria. We happen to meet in Victoria, but it's an Australian charity, the only charity in Australia dealing with mental health and wellbeing. We've got other great organisations, Support Act, Superb, do a brilliant yep. job in different areas. And we overlap with the Arts Centre, Wellbeing Collective, and lots of people we work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, you really have got tentacles kind of going really wide. They're huge programs, aren't they, to be getting that far out and to that many different groups. It's fabulous. You do have some high profile ambassadors. I think our original Frankie Valli from Jersey Boys, Bobby Fox, is one of them. It must be hard, obviously, at the moment. They can't physically go out there. But what's the role of the ambassador? What do they do?
Bobby has been brilliant. Yes, we all know Bobby as Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys, my second favourite show. Come From Away is my favourite show now. And it's really just to get the message out. Bobby did a very frank and upfront 30-second community service announcement. And once again, I thank particularly our radio colleagues across Australia who gave free airtime.
Yeah.
And they're a business who have been suffering, so we backed it up with some real dollars. But Bobby gave a chat about where he was at. There's a new book in the market. Heidi Victoria has done a book about people during COVID, entertainers, what have they done. At the launch, he spoke, and it was chilling. It was what he had to do, how to keep his mind active, his body active, his voice, his acting ability, his dancing ability, because he's a triple threat. So the ambassadors are there for awareness. As I mentioned, Josh Pitterman, Bobby Fox, Michael Cristiano, who's produced The Seekers and a whole lot of an amazing singer and musician himself. Chris Humphrey, if you Google Chris Humphrey, he's Wild Action Zoo. He has a private zoo in Victoria. he's a zoologist. He's an entertainer.
Yeah,
he's in the entertainment industry. All of a sudden, he's got 2,000 animals to feed every day and no income.
Yeah, it's so tough.
Curtis Stone, who is known as an international chef. He happens to be my nephew. And he's sort of an international ambassador, would love to help us, but he can't come to Australia. He hasn't been able to get on a plane for almost a year now. Amy V, who's a singer-songwriter, Chong Lim AM, who's a famous musical maestro, conductor, arranger, Alex Rothgerber, actor and singer, the list goes on, Kerry Comerford, there's so many, but they're there. We ask them three things a year. Number one, can we put you on the website? Tick. Number two, can you talk about us when you get a chance, a message, you know, whatever. And number three, if we have an event and if it suits you, we'd ask you to turn up at it, but not to perform because that's your living. So the ambassadors who have done something for us, and I've mentioned a couple there, we've actually paid them not what they're worth, but what we can afford,
because
to say here it is, and we're only allowed 130 at one of the concerts we did, but the entertainers were just so grateful for virtually per diems, but they were so grateful to get out and get behind the mic.
Yeah, and get to perform again.
So the ambassador program will roll out and become a lot more evident as we can get face-to-face and as our ambassadors. But they're not all performers. Some are behind the scenes doing their work that they love.
Yeah. Now, we have talked about the tough year that 2020 was, so you may not have much more to add, but what did the year look like for Entertainment Assist? I mean, you guys must have been a lot busier, having to really be quite nimble in your thinking. You've already mentioned turning a lot of your content into online content as opposed to being out and about with it. What was different for Entertainment Assist?
I think what happened for the board, and if you know one of the board members is a leading psychiatrist, another board member is involved in theatre, another board member is involved in ACMN, another board member is actually involved in the legal side of it in the entertainment industry. I won't go through every single one of them. Another board member had a massive takeover of a an ASX-listed company that became a private company. So there was all the pressures of things happening. They had to reinvent themselves, but then we had to reinvent Entertainment Assist. And the demand just kept coming. The website, you know, the social media, we had to take that seriously to make sure, even with 2.5 people in the office, we could get things up to speed. But it took a toll. It took a toll because you were feeling inadequate. We don't deal in castles and kingdoms. We're surviving. We're an ongoing concern, the auditors say. That's great. And we can afford to pay the bills. But we don't have this well of finance that we can do all the things we wanted to. So there was frustration. There was reality that February 2 years ago, everything's fine and everybody's out there and it's all happening. It was listening more than talking. I mean, one of the brilliant singers in this country, a lady who I love dearly, she's fantastic. She's cleaning houses to pay the rent and to pay for her daughter to go to university. And
it's mind-blowing, isn't it?
People know who she is because she walks in and they go, "You're..." Mm. And she goes, "Yes, how are you?" And then she goes, "I'm here to clean your house." And they go, "But..." And she goes, "No, I'm here to clean your house and I'm going to do a really good job." So the industry reinvented itself. We reinvented ourselves. And I was asked to do more interviews than ever. And some of them I really struggle with because we lose people through sadness, you know, of recent times. Mm. I mean, even as recently, we're recording this, but, you know, the great Michael Gudinski, and then all of a sudden somebody rings and says Doug Parkinson's passed away. And then we actually started doing a list of over 50 people, prominent people who the public know. But then I said, oh, God forbid, if we had to do a list of people behind the scenes, how many that would be. So we thought, let's keep the research up. Let's deal in fact. Let's continually put in proposals to government, state, federal, see whether, you know, they can help us. But they're under pressure. This country's under pressure.
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of something.
Everybody would like some money. Everybody would like this. So I say to people, if you haven't got any dollars to, I mean, any money, $500 is a big donation to us. Any money helps. But also if you can talk about it and lead people to the website, that's great.
Yeah. Well, let's give it one more unashamed plug. David, do you want to just give us that website again?
I will, the website, but also just as we sort of finish talking about Entertainment Assist, I must thank Gene Pratt, AC, people like Shane Jacobson, Robert Kirby, AO, who's the Village Roadshow Limited chairman, Paul and Angela Wilton, AM, KSJ, DSJ. They've got all those post-nominals for what they've done. Rob Lucas, people like that, Miles King, Vedran Draculic, they're names that nobody will know. Well, you know, some of the famous ones, but some of the other names. But I say to them, you have saved lives. And they go, big statement. I go, yep, Melanie Raymond, who is the chairman of Connected Communities Melbourne. The list goes on. If I had a sponsors list, I'd go through it. These are just off the top of my head. But they have saved lives because they have contributed financially and with awareness. So probably wrapping it up is the research, the awareness, the education. Don't ever think that mental health and well-being won't affect you, whoever's listening to this. And if it does, reach out. I'd love to be able to meet more people face to face. But entertainmentassist.org.au, entertainmentassist, all one word, .org.au. Hopefully you can go to that. You can get some good leads where to go and then potentially rise above it, where some of the names I've talked about, those prominent actors, I can tell you they have been quite open and said they've been in really dark spaces, but because of Entertainment Assist, they've got through.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And they are not alone. People are not alone with the challenges that we've all faced for the last few months or last year. And it's so fantastic that there's organisations like this out there doing the work that they do. So on behalf of the industry, thank you to you and your team.
Pleasure.
It's really significant.
And thank you to the industry people who have stepped up too and have not been about them. It's about other people, and that's the big thing.
Yeah. Now, we can't let you leave without a few thoughts on the media landscape of Australia, even though it took on a very different slant last year. So where do you think the acquisition and ownership changes of late are going to land in coming years?
It's such an interesting business. I've been privileged to be a part of 3RW for 48 years. I've had 7 owners, about 16 general managers, and
wow.
People say, what's the biggest thing to affect radio? And I actually go, the mobile phone. The mobile phone is the biggest thing. So owners come and go, general managers come and go, staff come and go, but the technology, they go, is it the computers? And I go, no, because now we being a talk news station, we've got listeners. They pick up their phone and they're where you had to go to a red phone box to ring if you saw something in the suburbs. But media has changed with the times. Obviously, we've got all the social media, all the digital media. I used to watch Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel O, Channel 2.
Yes.
And now you turn on and there's 50, 60 channels and there's Netflix and Stan and there's everything else. radio has been privileged because it's still the wonderful medium that you can take. You get in your car now, it's there. You can take it with you now with the apps and everything like that. And I'm computer illiterate, so I'm not proud to say that. But I don't have a computer. I've never sent an SMS. I've never sent an email in my life. I've had people who have sent them for me. But I actually get on the phone and talk. But I think, you know, television is a very, very vibrant industry, but gee, it's difficult at the moment. You know, some of my colleagues in television, it's changing all the time. The demand, because it's all commercial. You know, you've got to have the money in the bank. The newspapers are changing. You know, the subscriptions, the digital subscriptions. I still love picking up a newspaper. If you go to my car now, there'll be a copy of The Australian, The Fin Review, The Herald Sun, and The Age. And I love reading the newspapers. But I think the industry is changing for the better in some areas, but I hope they don't lose sight of an ageing population. And I won't name the client, but one of the biggest companies in Australia said, David, a lot of the future of this country is 40 to infinity. So don't ever think people are old at 70, 80. They're not. They're living to 90, 100 years of age. This particular company has a massive tens of millions of dollars they spend every year in marketing, and still their greatest marketing tool is catalogues in the newspapers. I'd love to say it's radio, I'd love to say it's television, but it's the catalogues. And so I think if we, for AW and 2GB and, you know, 4BC and 6PR, if they get it right, the future is fantastic, because people will always want to be informed, entertained. The world is happening. COVID was something we didn't want, but for radio, for the talk stations, it was the biggest marketing thing ever, because the world had to listen to the commercial talk stations or the ABC. And hopefully listeners have learnt that, and a lot of younger people have tuned to talk news radio, news talk radio. So I think radio is in a great spot if they understand that you've got to be parochial, localised. Sydney is a different place to Melbourne. Melbourne's a different place to Brisbane. Brisbane's a different place to Perth. So figure out, don't reinvent the wheel. Figure out what has worked, why it's worked.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Lyndall, is to keep the relationships up there, because it's okay when you're number one. But when you're number four, some of the people who have been with you along the way, the contributors, the sponsors, the relationships, they'll stay with you because you've been loyal. And so it's a challenging time for newspapers, television, radio to make sure they're ahead of the pack. But I always say one thing, the digital world is part of the future. It's not the future, because the people who have fallen into that 100%, I write down the back of my diary, companies that won't be here in 5 years' time. And some of them are already gone because they've just gone too far that way.
Yeah, it's such a good point. We're all chasing the younger demo. We're chasing, you know, the people who are in that digital space, and they think quick and disposable income. But yeah, you've got to know your brand, and you've got to know your audience. And if they're an older demo, they might still be consuming that more traditional media, and that's fine. Yeah. Like you say, catalogues and newspapers.
And in the retail space, two words, customer service. You give customer service, whether you're selling caravans or cars or hi-fi equipment or pharmaceutical products, customer service, people remember that. And, you know, I love talking to the people who have had the successes and the failures. So at the moment, one of my best friends is a multi-billionaire. And he's succeeded and he's bombed, and he succeeded and he's bombed, but he sits down and he talks to me about his failures, what he learned from his failures. And he's senior in years now, but he's still active, and he always says, keep working, because I see so many people who just retire and say, oh, I'm just going to drink Chardonnay and play golf, and it doesn't work. If you keep working and you keep active, so your brain's active, your body may be failing, but I see people, that company I mentioned before without saying their name, the three owners of that are quite senior gentlemen, but they're still in the business, and they make sure they're in the business day to day.
Yeah, yeah. And what would be a tip for a media planner or a media buyer in the current climate from your perspective?
A media planner, a media buyer, don't get involved with what you like, because some of our best media buyers and media planners are people very, very young, and they may never experience, I'll just talk about, the talk radio network. They might not listen to it. That might not be their thing. That's fine. You know, listen to the FMers. But understand what's most important for your client. Understand that the media there should be not only to take the money, but to help you with other things. I mean, I do a thing called Man About Town, and I went out and did some live crosses the other day, and they said, oh, thank you. Look, do you mind doing a little bit of social media for us if we tape you interviewing one of our clients? I said, not at all. No problems. Then they needed an issue with the police. So I said, well, I know the police. I can ring them and get some advice. And they said, God, you came here as a radio personality, but you left as a friend because you helped us. So value add all the time, because you have some great networks, introduce people, make it work for other people. But for the media planners, it's if you don't know a lot about your client, you got an issue. And if you don't know a lot about the media that you're placing it on, you've got an issue. So drain them, drain their brain and say, I want to know more. And don't get opinions. Say, right, give me the surveys, give me the facts, give me the demographics, give me the geographics. Demand it, because they've got it there, but not too many people ask for it. And then be realistic. Say, what can you value add with?
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice, isn't it? I mean, we always talk about data here, get more data, and you can buy or come up with a campaign based on data. But I love the idea of a bit of value add and, just adding where you can, particularly in this day and age. Everyone wants a little bit more. All clients want a little bit more. So, yeah.
And I've worked with some of the biggest and best advertising agencies over the 4 decades plus, but some of the thrill they get is coming in and just sitting in on a program. So whether it's a radio program, a television program, or watching the journos or accompanying people like I did with the emergency services, and you walk away going, wow, that's how it happens, or wow, isn't he or she brilliant? Ask them whether you can become involved in their product, not just at the social events, wining and dining at the footy or a theatrical event, but see how it works and the pressure that they're under, and whether you should have a recorded commercial or a live read or a sponsorship of a segment. And if you get to know their product, their form of medium, sometimes you say, gee, that agency really knows what it's about. And I know we're getting to the end of the chat, but ACMN, you and your team have lived the mediums. When you're dealing with the theatre, you're there, not just at opening night, you're there at rehearsals. When it's the radio station, you come in, you ask questions about the on-air personalities. When it's the newspaper, what can go as almost a breaking story compared to a story in a feature that, yes, you've got to pay for, but what do we do? How do we do this? Where is it published? How can we get it national? And understanding that the way that you talk to some people in some markets is different to the others. And I personally love it about you, about Karen, and about all your team. And even before we walked in the studio today, I got an email from one of your staff, which was just terrific. It was a matter that was needed attention to, and she's attended to it and then put a lovely note and things like, I hope you're having a good day, da 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 da.
Oh, that's
not just
nice to hear.
She couldn't SMS me because I don't get it.
Yeah, we only employ very nice people at ACMN. Now let's get on to these little questions we like to ask everybody at the end, and we particularly like to ask our guests big philosophical question: why does arts matter?
It's probably an escape for a lot of people. I'm talking about the public now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've talked about the artists and the industry, but for the public, it's something that whether they're going to a rock concert or a theatrical production or they're listening to the radio or whatever, it keeps them informed, it gives them enjoyment, it connects them to other people. It's an industry that so many people put so much of an effort into it. I mean, to get to where we are, we're a tiny little country, nearly 26 million people, and we've got some of the biggest stars in the world. And I go back to people like the Seekers. You know, I say often they made it in the US, they made it in Asia, they made it in the United Kingdom, they made it in Europe, 100 million records or whatever. But we've had this sort of this list of prominent people who have made it against the odds. And then we've had great people to back them. So for the public, it's something they love. People say we're the sporting capital of the world. Well, I tell you what, a bit egotistical, but Melbourne's right up there with the theatre capitals of the world. we've got, and thank God for the Mariners who saved the theatres.
Yeah.
That we've got fabulous theatres. Sydney has got great theatres, but they've just got another one coming online.
Yep. It's exciting.
And we have the people who can back those theatres. I mean, I know one very prominent person. He said, David, I make more money out of car parks, this is in the old days, than I do out of owning a theatre. And I said, yep. But I said, you do it because you believe in it.
Yeah.
And it's nice. I love standing in a theatre and just looking at people, and they walk in and they walk out and they're happy and they've had a couple of hours or 3 hours or, you know, with some of the productions longer.
Yeah.
It's escapism.
Joyous escapism.
Correct. So the arts, you know, long live the arts, more support needed. But let's just be grateful for what we've got.
Yeah. You are such a supporter of the arts. You certainly were at your time at 3AW. Where did you discover your love of theatre or entertainment?
I think it was purely by being the office boy at 3AW. I was Blackburn High School, did matriculation, and then could have gone off and done all those things at uni, and I became an office boy on $33 a week. But it was really thrilling because I was given two tickets to Cat Stevens.
I
went to a place called Festival Hall and saw this guy singing and a band and people cheering and standing on seats. I thought, oh, that's good. And I couldn't sing to save myself. I have no rhythm at all. I don't dance. But then I became a disc jockey in hotels. And so for 25 years, I had a stable of disc jockeys who worked for me, and then did discos until the pokies came in. There were discos everywhere. So I was out there watching people dance and watching people have a great time, and I'd play the music, and I thought, this is good, people having a good time. And then I was introduced to theatre, you know, musicals. I've got to say, I struggle with opera and ballet, and I'm being honest, you know, the fabulous part of the arts, but I'm not an opera or ballet person. But eventually I was introduced to musicals, and I thought, this is great. Live bands, I mean, we're so lucky. Some of the people we have in this country, you know, to go, and I don't drink when I'm driving, you know that, but I will take my wife, and we'll see Lisa Edwards, and we'll go and see John Farnham, and we'll see Wendy Stapleton, and you know, Michael Cristiano, one of our ambassadors, or Josh Pitterman. I've never been more proud, you know, watching him do things. And we've got all this great talent, the Mike Bradys, and the list goes on and on and on. And so live music, theatre, you know, the various festivals, because arts are festivals.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It can be the Melbourne Fashion Festival, the Food and Wine Festival. And I think it takes me away. Media can be very plastic, but there's somebody, you don't get a second chance. It's when I MC. Once you hit that microphone, that's it. You either get it right or you're going to be embarrassed. And you see people with talents that you would just love. I'd love to be able to play a musical instrument. I played the clarinet for 3 weeks and that was it. So my love has come through the privilege of working in the media, interviewing a lot of people, and then I went to Rest Point in the early days and emceed the showroom there. So I met people like Charles Aznavour, Barry Humphries, The Stylistics, Max Bygraves.
Is this the one in Tasmania?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the first casino in Australia,
yes.
Federal Pacific Hotels.
Yep.
And I'd go down there and I'd sometimes MC the acts at the showroom, but then I'd interview them on air at midnight because they'd come off stage and, you know, Kamal and people like that would just ring through and we'd talk for half an hour on the radio. And so I started to appreciate people that I'd never, ever heard of, but all of a sudden I was emceeing Victor Borga, and I just loved him. Tom Jones, I emceed Tom Jones for probably 10 years, you know, one of the most amazing talents. The story behind Tom Jones is remarkable. But I go out and I talk to people that I've met. I had dinner one night with my wife and I, 8 people, and 2 of them were Sammy Davis Jr. and Liza Minnelli. I had a table at a restaurant in Melbourne where Pavarotti turned up and started singing.
Wow.
To a table. And you meet these people, but the one thing I'll leave you with, and I say it to young people, Charles Aznavour was the number one singer in the world, a French singer who had a hit called She. And I had to go down to Rest Point with him and MC. But then the radio station said, take the big Nagra tape machine and interview him. It was a reel-to-reel tape. And so I went up the tower in Rest Point. He's sitting there, Charles Aznavour, French accent. And I sat down and I went to turn the machine on, and I said, and I was like 18. I said, Mr. Aznavour, I can't do this. I've never interviewed a star. I can't do it. And he said, I can't do the accent, but David, the man who flew us on the plane, because we were on Ansett, the man, and I said, the pilot? He goes, yeah, he is good at his job. The lady who brought the cheese and the port here, there was a platter of cheese and port, she is good at her job. And he said, tonight you will be good at, I'm more confident about comparing, you will be good at your job. And there was this pause. He said, always remember, there is no such thing as a star in life. If we all do our best at our job, that's good. But there is no such thing as a star. Now turn the machine on. It was the worst interview in the history of radio in the world. But from that, I watch people, and I'll give you two prime ministers, the Honourable John Howard and the Honourable Bob Hawke, the late Bob Hawke. When they came into AW for an interview, they'd always say hello to the receptionist. They'd thank the panel operator, the producers, not just Darren Hinch or Neil Mitchell, whoever it happened to be. I thought, classy.
Yeah.
And I'd see other people come in with their nose in the air, security or whatever, and they think they've written a bit. They're not around. But so it was a privilege meeting so many of those people, so many not with us anymore. You know, Gene Pitney, just a wonderful singer. And you learn from them, and they give you little one percenters of something in life. It's like, and I will mention his name, Bruce Matheson, who's a highly successful businessman. He said, David, just work hard. Do your best at everything you do. And that's a good lesson. And I say to young people, get on a board, a trust or a foundation in an honorary sense. You'll feel better, you'll increase your network, and you'll be doing something to help society.
That is a terrific note to end it on. You've had just the most eclectic and fascinating career. I could talk to you all day. I think on behalf of the Victorian community, we thank you for all that generous work that you do, that you're making big differences everywhere. All these organisations that you touch, we're going to put as many as we can in the show notes, but certainly we want you all to look up Entertainment Assist, because they're really important. They're doing great work at the moment and our industry needs them. So, David, thank you very much for your time today.
Lyndall, thank you. And I've got to thank my wife for being a great supporter, and I've got to thank my parents. Just amazing. Mum's passed away, but Dad, you know, if you're lucky, if you have people around you who care, who love you and support you. And thank you to the ACMN team.
I hope you enjoyed that insight into the work Entertainment Assist does. They are such an important organisation for our industry now more than ever. As you heard in the intro, David has a vast career and amazing connections in far-reaching places and a lot more stories. So stay tuned for part 2 coming soon.